Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We just start at the front of the Bible and start making your way closer to the back. Little by little, you get there. I want to talk about King Uzziah because I want to preface Isaiah chapter 6. I want to do a teaching on Isaiah chapter 6 when God calls Isaiah and understand the significance of what happens with Isaiah when he encounters God. We have to understand the really hard lesson that King Uzziah learned. Now all the people took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eleth and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king and reigned 42 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 26. According to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out to make war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Meunites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, and he became exceedingly strong. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, in the valley gate, at the corner of the buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. And he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men and went out to war by companies according to the number on their roll as prepared by Jeiel, the scribe, and Messiah, the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total of the chief officers and of the mighty men of valor was 2,600, and under their authority was an army of 307,500, and they made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. And his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped, till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord by entering the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, and you'll have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Azariah and the chief priests and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death, and he dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers, and in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. O God, speak to us today. Challenge us today. Change us today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. King Uzziah was a good king. He was a brilliant king. He was a gifted king. He was a gifted leader. And he had a heart to seek after God. Seeking God is important. That's my first point this morning. Seeking God is important. It is a good thing to want to seek after God. This isn't a trick point. It's good to seek God. Uzziah sought after God. He had a heart after God. He was a godly king. He had no time for idols. He made reforms in the nation and pushed their enemies back. God was with him. Not bad for a guy that becomes king at 16 years old. Man, I've been able to be in a position of leadership at 16. Anybody underneath me would have been in a lot of trouble. I was not ready for leadership at 16. And the fact that he led the nation to seek after God at 16 years old was nothing short of miraculous. I don't know about you. How were you when you were 16? Were you ready to lead a nation? God blessed him. Says he digs wells. He does a lot of public works projects. He's a gifted inventor. They invent machines for firing arrows and stones at the enemy. And they place him up on the wall. He's a really smart, gifted man. God blessed Uzziah because Uzziah had a heart after God. The problem is that we can start well and not finish well. I want the end of my life to be strong. I have places in my life where I wasn't so strong. I have places in my life where I didn't run my race well. As long as he remained humble before God and was faithful to God, God blessed him. There's something to be said about humility. There's something to be said about knowing your place. It's important that you seek God. It is important that you walk with God and you have a heart for God. Seeking God is important. However, point number two, seeking God on your own terms is dangerous. The same serpent that tricked Adam and Eve by saying fruit is fruit, that tells this generation that love is love, tells many people within the church that worship is worship. Oh, what's it matter? Oh, Pastor, I don't have to go to church. I can worship God on my bass boat. I can worship God on your bass boat too. But the Bible says, don't forsake the assembly. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, of course not. You are the church. And if you're not gathering with God's people, you're not the church. You're probably not a Christian. If you have no heart to be with God's people, you're probably not saved. The problem is we want to seek God on our own terms. And with some of my encounters with God this week, as I was preparing for these messages in the last week, right, just encountering God, and God establishing and reminding me who he was, who I was, and the great difference between the two of us. A very common mistake that we see. And that's why I'm blessed that Joe, he's going to read a scripture each week on worship. Do just a real brief little thing, because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we're destroyed because we don't understand what God expects of us, either through willful ignorance or we just never knew. I heard a story from some missionaries. It was Mission Aviation Fellowship. You know, you listen to some of the Christian stations, they'll sometimes have a little short little thing on there about what they do. And they said that they were in China and in this little village, and whenever they would pray, everybody would stand on their head. And so these missionaries inquired, why do you guys stand on your head? Well, because one of our pastor, you know, fell down a well and upside down, and he prayed and God rescued him. So we just all pray on our heads, because when we pray, God rescued him when he was standing on his head in that well. Right? Sometimes we have these ridiculous notions about worship and about seeking God because we don't know any better. And we don't understand what God has to say about it. Uzziah gets full of pride, and instead of staying in his lane, he decides, since he loves God so much, that he can march into the temple and offer incense before God, which was not lawful for him to do in this, according to the scriptures. Only the priests who had been set apart before the Lord could go into that part of the temple and offer incense. And he carries the same attitude that's been prevalent through the ages. Not much is different. Who do you think you are to tell me how to worship? You worship God your way. I'll worship God my way. Oh, it's cool. I'm really close with the Lord. Me and Jesus are like that. Yeah, but you're sleeping with your girlfriend. You and Jesus are not like that. You're like that. You're seeking God on your own terms. Oh, it's all good. It's cool, man. It's all good. Right? How dare you tell me how to worship? Who do you think you are? Don't you judge me. Your Majesty, God is about to judge you. This was only permissible for the priests to be there. The priests were the conscience of the nation. They had not been given the responsibility to govern the nation, but they were to lead people in the worship of God in the obedience to the word of God. The king was given the responsibility to govern the nation, but was not allowed to tread into the things that belong to God. Marriage. Life. There's some real applicable points in the scriptures to even the day that we live in. Who are you, O Supreme Court, to tread into the things that belong to God alone? Each of us has our role that we have to fulfill. I can't live your walk with God. And I can't fulfill your place in the kingdom. And likewise, you can't live my walk with God and fulfill my role in God's kingdom. Only I can do that. As I lovingly said over the years, a lesson I learned the hard way, if you would do it differently if you were in charge, is the reason God hasn't put you in charge. After as youth pastor, I realized early on God's order of things and what God expected and who God had put in charge, and it wasn't me, and that I learned to be obedient and surrendered to God and to my leaders. Eventually, God gave me more responsibility. My friends, we cannot approach God on our own terms. I remember the Lord came to me years ago as a youth pastor. I'd been here a few years, and this was an awful lesson. And he spoke to me really clearly. He goes, you think you have the right to be in charge. You think you do a better job. Here's what I'm going to do. You're going to feel the weight of responsibility without the power to do a thing about it. And I'm going to let you feel what your pastor is feeling. I'm going to let you feel the weight and the fierceness of the battles he's fighting, but you can do nothing about it. And I went through several years of depression, of heaviness, as God showed me and placed upon me that weight, the weight of leadership without the authority of leadership. I've never, ever made that mistake again. That was awful. And Uzziah comes marching into the temple thinking he's got the right to be there because he loves God and he can worship God on his terms. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I want to do. And he paid a serious price. We cannot approach God on our own terms. We have to approach God on God's terms. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. People that came to Jesus, Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Well, what are the commandments? And he rattles off a few, thinking he's justified. Same with the guy that comes, you know, well, who is my neighbor? Trying to justify himself before God. Jesus always held those people off at bay. Oh, you want to? You're full of yourself. Oh, you want to inherit eternal life? Okay, sell everything you got and give it to the poor, and come follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. This is the man walked away sad. But Jesus, there was people that came to Jesus full of mess, humbly crying out to him that he got right in the middle of all that. Because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We would have boldness to come before the Lord. We also have to have a spirit of humility to come before God and understand our place. I am not God. I will never be God. And I don't have the right to tell God how things are supposed to be. God gets to tell me how it is. Was Paul saying in Romans, who are you, O clay, to say to the potter? Right? Linda Sue did one of those painting classes at our house with a bunch of the women. Could you imagine one of the paintings? I don't like the way you painted me. Do something different. Seriously, is this the best you can do? Ridiculous. But humanity thinks that we can come before God however we please. The biggest issue here is not Uzziah marching into the temple. That is a very serious sin. The problem is this. Point number three, he was not teachable or correctable. Sin is serious. I don't want you to sin. Don't do it. Not a good idea. However, if you do, the thing that I find terrifying for people is when they are not teachable and you cannot correct them. It's one thing that a man fails. It's another thing that he digs in his heels. Sin is serious and destructive, but I'm more concerned when a person is confronted about their sin that they'll dig in their heels. What happened when David was confronted with this sin? He fell apart. Oh, God, I've sinned against you. Right? Nathan comes to him. You know, this man stole his neighbor's sheep. He was a rich man. He stole a poor man's sheep, killed it to throw a party. What ought to be done? That man should die. David, you're that man. And David's convicted and he's broken. And Nathan looks at him and goes, you're not going to die. The Lord has atoned for your sin, David. Do you have some consequences in life? Because when David was broken and humble before God, David was teachable and correctable. I am concerned when people are not teachable and you can't correct them. There's one thing Ron always said he loved about me was when he had to correct me. While I never liked getting corrected, he goes, you always just took it. You always acknowledged it. And you dealt with it, and you fixed it. You were teachable, and I could correct you. Because there's other people more talented that were better. They probably could have done a better job, but nobody could take correction better than you. And he goes, that's why God has honored you and promoted you repeatedly, because every time that we had to deal with something, which wasn't all the time, but, you know, as a youth pastor, you'd be surprised how often you get called into pastor's office for something. It happens. It's like, man, I could confront you. And I never had to worry about, you know, it goes, I never liked having to do it, but I never, you know, had that dread like you do with some people. Uzziah is confronted by the priest. It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense before the Lord, but it's for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to do this. Get out of the sanctuary. You've trespassed and you'll have no honor from God. And they confront him. Get out of here. You don't belong in here, Uzziah. You can't come before God like this, Uzziah. This is not for you to do. This is not how God says it's to be done. You're sinning against God. You think you're seeking God with your whole heart, Uzziah. But really, you're about to enter into God's destruction. Here, oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love the worship today. But you're not doing it the right way, Uzziah. That's dangerous. The problem with deception is it's deceiving. Right? Oh, I'm going to seek God with all of my heart. Oh, how wonderful. God's like, what in the world are you doing? I never told you that. I didn't say for you to come to me like that. Uzziah should have heeded the warning and allowed himself to be corrected. I think the story could have been different. You know what? You're right. I don't belong in here. I have sinned against God. I've transgressed his commandments in his order of things, and I need to get out of here before God strikes me. But what does he do? He's got the censer full of incense to offer before the Lord. And it says he becomes angry with the priest. Who are you to tell me how I can and can't worship? Who are you to tell me how to live my life? Who are you to tell me how I can how my relationship with God is supposed to be? Don't you judge me. Sound familiar? How dare you tell me how to worship God? He became angry. And when he becomes angry, right, he reinforces that pride. He digs in his heels in pride. And what does God do? God does what? He resists the proud. And it says leprosy breaks out on his forehead and he's kicked out. So not only did he and his pride, and he had a heart to worship God. That's not the issue. Nobody is confused about Uzziah's motives. His motives were good. He wants to seek God. He wants to draw close to God. That's a good thing. But when his heart gets full of pride and he thinks he can do things that God has not said to do, that's a problem. And a man who had a heart to really seek after God is now cut off. He's never allowed back in the temple again because he has leprosy. He's cut off from God's presence for the rest of his life. And instead of repenting and getting him right, he gets struck. And he's cut off from ever coming and drawing close to God again. My friends, you will pay a heavy price if you approach God on your terms and not his terms. We come, as Hebrews says, through it's giving the imagery of the temple. The veil in the temple was torn. And Hebrews lays it out. The theology of that is Christ. Christ was that veil. Through the veil of his flesh, through the blood of Jesus, through the new and living way that he provided, we come that way humbly before God. My friends, you will pay a heavy price for pride and for refusing to allow your heart to be corrected. But the good news, friends, is Jesus loves sinners. First, I hope that you feel some conviction today. God is merciful. While there's tremendous consequences for sin, God is merciful. God will resist the proud, but when you humble yourselves before the Lord, he will give you grace. King Manasseh, in the scriptures, it says he shed more innocent blood than anybody else from one end of Jerusalem to the next. He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. God sends another army in. They take him captive. They destroy the city. They ransack, kill the people, and they throw him into prison. And he's sitting there, rotting in prison. But it says something interesting about Manasseh. It says he humbled himself before the Lord exceedingly. I like that word. I like the way it phrased. He humbled himself. He got honest with God. He gets on his face before God. He gets real with God. He humbles himself before the Lord. And you know what happens? He's restored back to his kingdom. Here's a man that slaughtered people, killed the innocent, filled that city with blood. God despised King Manasseh. But when he humbled himself before the Lord and got right with God, God restored him back to his kingdom. King Uzziah struck with leprosy. What leprosy are you walking around with today? Spiritually speaking. My friends, That leper came before Jesus, and when he cried out for mercy, here's what I love. Jesus touched him in his filthiness. Here's a great thing about Jesus. See, the law says that if anybody touched a leper, they became unclean. Anything or anyone that touched that man was cut off from God's presence because they were filthy and defiled. But anything Jesus touched, instead of the filth being transferred to them, his healing, his righteousness, his holiness, his purity was transferred into them. Jesus is not embarrassed by your filthiness, which for many of us is our own doing. What do they say? The one common denominator in every bad relationship you've had and every bad job you had, you're the only thing that's consistent in all of that. Everything that you hate about life, you're the only thing that's consistent in everything. Everything bad in your life, you're the only thing that is consistent in all of that. Well, they say correlation is not always causality. In that case, it is. You're miserable, and it's your own darn fault. But Jesus is not embarrassed by you. The law states that anybody who touches something unclean is defiled, but Jesus comes and he puts his hand in our mess. He puts his hand on our sin. He gets in the middle of all our disgustingness, and all of his healing and purity is transferred to us. We're going to come to the altar today. If you just get that song, I'll cue you in just a second, Mike, as people begin to come. I'll have you turn that on. We're just going to play a song in the background. It's a great song. Come to the Altar. I love that song. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do not come to God on your terms, but come to God on His terms. And we're going to open the altar. I may or may not pray for you. If God directs me to pray for you, we will. But what we're going to do today is this. We're going to put our sin down and take His righteousness. We're going to come with all of our filth and all of our mess. He's going to transfer His holiness to us, His righteousness, all His purity. Everything that defiling about our life is going to be taken away, and He's going to transfer His purity to us. We're going to lay down our sickness, and we're going to take up His healing power. We're going to lay down all of our poverty and all of our mess. We're going to pick up His prosperity. We're going to let God come into every part of our life right now. If you need God, if you need to exchange something today, come. Mike, if you just begin to play the song, I invite you to come. It's an act of faith. We're going to come and we're going to just exchange whatever mess we got. My friends, come. Don't be proud. Humble yourself. That's why we're coming. It's an act of humility. Come. Come to the altar, friends. Let's get right with God today. Let's get right with God today. Come on. Lay it down. We're going to get healed today. We're going to get set free today. We're going to give it to Jesus today. Yes. Just begin to talk to Him. Exchange it. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel like you've prayed through, you can be dismissed. We love you. If you just need to stay at the altar a little longer, maybe Mike, you just put on some music there in the background. If you feel like you've made that exchange today, you're free to be dismissed. But man, I want you to pray through. If you need me to help you break through today, I'd love to come and pray with you. Just wave at me or whatever. I'm right here. We'll pray you through.